ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, it's part two with Coach Gio with Villarreal. So let's head to the pitch.
What advice do you give parents for their players' success that they can do?
So on that, to me, is a little bit of a trick question, and it's going to have multiple parts. And I hope to help as many people as possible with this. It's going to seem a little bit strong for some people, and some people are just going to blow me off. But for those people that truly want what's best for your kids, please, please, please listen to this. And the advice that I would give is allow your kids to learn the lessons they're supposed to learn. And I get it. It's hard. It's hard to watch your kid struggle. It is hard to watch your kid be disappointed or feel a certain kind of emotion. But sometimes as adults, by stepping in to try to help fix that, we're only crippling them and giving them a crutch that's not necessary and it's not needed. If the kid is old enough to complain about the coach, he's old enough to be able to have a conversation with the coach. I always tell my players, and I ask you, Ian, what's a champion?
Someone that grinds every day.
Yeah, winner, so, I mean,
Good day, bad days. They're out there grinding. The example I always like to use with Landon is Cristiano Ronaldo, is that he just won the championship league, and the next day he was at the gym at 4:30 in the morning, back hitting the gym again. And to
Yeah,
me, that's the definition of a champion. It's okay, I just won. Time to put in more effort. Or,
perfect. That's pretty accurate, you know. But I would add a few things, right? I would, for me, the champion isn't just born a champion. It's you know, you mentioned it yourself on Cristiano Ronaldo. For me, a champion is a loser. A loser that gets tired of losing. That one day says, you know what, I'm never gonna lose again. Because you mentioned it yourself, Cristiano Ronaldo, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Lionel Messi, at some point were turned away, turned down, sit on the bench, rejected. At that moment, they were losers and they got tired of losing. And sometimes we don't allow our kids to lose. A winner cannot be a champion. You have to know what losing's like. You have to know what it's like to touch rock bottom to truly become a champion and to keep that. Cristiano Ronaldo didn't become a champion, all those things that you're saying, because he had it easy growing up, because his mom went and argued with coaches about playing time when he didn't deserve it. So to me, when I ask a player what's a champion, I need them to understand, and I ask parents this as well. Your kids are going to lose, they're going to hurt, they're going to cry. Your job is to support them, but not coach them. Okay? And you have to allow them to learn the lessons. Because you mentioned something about Landon, about what's going to happen when he turns 15 or 16 years old and he wants to make the national team. Well, when they're younger, the only thing that matters is that they learn what they were supposed to learn from losing 2-0 when they were 10, from losing 8-0 the first time ever when they were 12, going back and with that same team being able to fight and beat the team that beat them 8-0. That's how you start creating a champion. Not about whining, not about pointing the finger, blaming it on someone else. So I know that's a tough one for some parents because, hey, for even when it's, I'm the oldest, I'm my mom's baby, and I saw her, hey, her struggle with this. But it's something that's necessary. The bumps and the bruises are necessary for when they go to college. And a lot of times, especially in the community in which we live in, our kids are very blessed. The parents have worked their butt off very hard to make sure that they don't struggle the way we struggled, the way they struggled. And by making things too easy, we're crippling our kids. So as hard as it might sound, sometimes you have to let your kid just take an L. Let your kid have that hard conversation of talking to his coach because he's not playing. Not the parent, the kid. They're 13, 14 years old. It might seem young. The parent could accompany if they want, but that's also preparing them for life in the future. Having to walk into a boss's office and demand a raise or you know, talk to them about something at work. That's no different than having to go talk to a coach about your playing time. And there's now, as an adult, you see all the adults that didn't get taught these lessons. We gotta let our youth learn the hard way. And to me, that's the biggest thing that I would tell parents. Let them talk to their coach. Let them build their relationship. And you know, with all due respect, kind of stay out of it until you absolutely need to. There's a lot of coaches that are no good and can be harmful to your kid. Step in immediately. But if your kid is on a team and they're not playing much, but they're not complaining, it's because they understand and they know. Don't complain for them. Don't go talk to the coach until your kid comes and talks to you. And then when your kid comes talk to you, you ask your kid to talk to their coach. And there's proper steps that you can take before you get involved, allowing the child to take ownership for and responsibility for his actions as well, because there could be reasons why he's not or she's not playing. So to me, I think a lot of times we don't let our kids learn these things. And I think that hurts us in the long run. When I was mentioning to you about earlier about the doors being closed and being able to have the mindset to keep knocking on doors and keep knocking on doors and keep knocking on doors. And when for some of these people that make it pro, it's because they never stop. It's because they always had to figure it out on their own. Let our kids figure it out, you know, especially if they have a good coach. The other advice that I would give them is, who cares about winning? If you find a coach that's helping your kid develop, whether it's in a small club or a big club, you stay with that coach until that coach, until your kid has learned everything that they need to from that coach and they're ready to move on. Don't allow the fact that other kids are jumping ship, other kids are unhappy, or playing time, or any little things be the reason why you move, because you could be moving to some place that looks better because it has a nicer facility and a bigger name and nicer jerseys, but that person could possibly not care about your kid as much as the small club or the club that isn't winning as much. And when they're younger, Landon's age, right? Thea's age, is important that they learn that lesson, learn to touch the ball, learn to pick their head up, learn all these basics of the game, that it doesn't matter what jersey you're wearing. It doesn't matter what field you're practicing on. Is this person teaching my kid? Is this person helping my kid grow as a person and as a soccer player? I think those are questions that we need to ask ourselves, and not depend always so much on the coach and the club and what you see on Facebook or social media or the rankings of a team. I've seen one of the biggest mistakes people make when trying to go to a new team is they go to the leagues and they just look at the rankings. The rankings tell you nothing about the coach. Nothing. And at 8, 7, 6, 5, 10 years old, it's important they learn as much as they can, because when they do hit 16, 17 years old, they need to be able to join a program like FC Dallas or go to a Villarreal in Spain, go to a place and have learned enough to be able to do what they really want to do on that stage. And sometimes going to these big clubs and being on the sixth or seventh team that you mentioned earlier isn't what's best for your kid, you know, even if you have nicer jerseys or a nicer facility or whatever it may be, you know. So we need to think about that. And those aren't conversations that I hear people talking about when they're looking for a new team. You know, I'm talking to parents and I hear people upset because they're not winning, but their team is playing well. They're keeping the ball. They're creating opportunities. The other team is getting a long ball and a lucky bounce at the end of the game, and they lose 1-0. And what they see is the 1-0 loss and not that they connected 25 passes before they created a shot. Even though they missed the shot, they created a shot and it was beautiful soccer, or the level that their kid is at, what the confidence that they have. Sometimes people don't look at that.
Of the game is important, as much as an important factor as in how they're playing. I think, Tottenham Spurs a few years ago, and I'll let you get back to this really quickly, they passed the ball 99 times before they had a shot and goal. And parents don't realize that happened. 99 consecutive passes before they shot and goal. I think they even missed a shot, but they held the ball. And that's at the top level.
And that's beautiful, you know, and sometimes it gets frustrating, but honestly, you learn more when you lose than when you win. And you know, I talk about being a loser to be a champion. It's important you get all those losses that you're, if you're supposed to be get 100 losses before you realize, let's get those in as fast as possible. There's 50 losses, whatever's going to flip that switch for you to want to take that next level and become a champion. You're only going to get that fire from losing. Right. I mean, and that's what it is. So, I say this to say, you know, I have a team right now that really hasn't lost a real game in 2 years. You know, and when the mentality is develop and win and not worry about winning will come if you do it right.
Yes.
Do not get it misunderstood with, oh, he just cares about development. He doesn't care about winning. Oh, no. We care about winning, but winning the right way. You know, winning in life, not just winning in a game of soccer, you know, winning in life. And sometimes it means taking the longer path. It means, you know, losing for 2 years straight before you become the most dominant team in the league and slowly go from being 400th in the country to top 50, from being 150 in the state to breaking top six, top eight. In a matter of 3 or 4 years. So if the development is right and you have a good coach, you believe in the plan, everyone needs to be on board. Okay. Even if you think your coach is crazy, even if you think your coach is nuts, you cannot disrespect the coach in front of the kid. Okay. And that's one of the other things that I would give advice is, however you feel about the coach, that's between you and the coach. Because you feel a certain way about the coach doesn't mean the kid feels that way. And whenever a child stops believing in a coach, they stop believing in the words he says. Once he stops believing in the words the coach says, you lose that kid. And you're robbing that kid of an opportunity to learn something from this man, whether you like him or not, or a woman, whether you like this person or not, this coach or not. You're taking the opportunity for your child to learn something from them because of the comments you're making about the coach on the drive home after a bad game, after a loss, you know, and it's important that not just the kid, but the family buys into the culture, the team, the system. And believes that even when it's a tough loss, believes that they're in the right place. Hey, it's okay. We're going to get back to work. Continue to grind. We'll be back. You know, I always talk about this little black book. When I was a player, I had a black book. A little black book of teams and players that I was going to hunt down because they beat me or because they did something that drove me nuts. And I tell my kids about this little black book. This, if a team beats you and you feel uncomfortable about it, you write it down in that little black book in the back of your head, and you come back and you hunt that team down. You hunt that team down and you get them back. And it's not the quitting mentality or because I lost 3-0, let me go find another team. No, with this same team that I have, I'm going to come back and whoop you the way you whoop me. You know, and creating that mentality is very important. And I also go on my little tangents, you know, about this subject because I absolutely love it. But yeah, parents, if you listen to something that I say, find a good community and culture for your kid to grow up, to grow as a person. Because I mean, not everyone goes pro. But if you can go to college and get a degree, hey, that's a professional in something.
Yeah.
And soccer is the key. It is the key to get you a free education if you can't afford it, even if it's not D1. Man, that D1 nonsense is ridiculous. People don't even know. Go find somewhere. And I'll say this to the kids, too, that are 17, 18, 19 years old that are looking to go to college, that want to go D1 or D2, and it must be going there. The same thing goes to you as I'm telling these kids and their parents. Find a college coach that believes in you. Find a college coach that can help you continue to grow. It could be, I know professional players that came out of junior colleges, and I know players that went to D1 colleges that are roaming around DFW. It's not about where you go. Again, it's not about what jersey you wear. It's about, what did you learn? Did you learn something from that loss? Did you learn something from that injury? All these little lessons that we learn, you add them up. And someday a coach is going to come ask to see that receipt, and that receipt is going to show the value of you as a person. Right. And did you add up all the lessons that you were supposed to add up? Or did you go through all these tragedies and didn't learn anything? So go into JUCO, go into NAIA, go into, it doesn't matter. Go somewhere that the coach believes in you. Continue to learn, continue to grow. If you're going to go try out a professional team and you catch their eye, going to a D1 school or going to an NAIA school is not going to matter to that professional club. You walk up to a tryout and you destroy the defender in front of you, or as a defender, you don't allow the forward to score on you. That's what matters. Not where you played in your youth, not losing 5-0 to a big club in the Metroplex as a little club, not going to a D1 college or going to an NAIA, because you can go to a D1 and ride the bench and learn nothing. Right. You can go to a JUCO and someone could build a program around you and you develop into the player that you truly want to be. So, you know, the environment in which we want to, that we want to grow in, is very important. So that's something that I would tell parents and those kids that are 16, 17, 18 year olds upset because they're not getting D1 colleges. Hey, there's a reason for that. Maybe it's not for you, but if this is your dream, and this is what you want to do, anybody can go pro. How much are you willing to sacrifice? How low down the food chain is your ego willing to let you start and go from there?
That, as a parent, is a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, no. And for me, I'm in a funny place, man. And I'm the oldest of my brothers. My father's a truck driver, so he was always busy. So when it came to parent decisions, I help my mother make those choices. So when I'm telling you about this stuff, it's not, maybe I don't have any kids, but I've been in those moments of having to make some of these choices and having to want to come talk to a coach and wanting to step in. And yes, Sally is in Disney Cup with the state champs on a big club team. Perfect. Well, that's the team for Sally. That might not be the team for you, you know? And for some people, those big tournaments and those big teams is tough. And I've been there with my mother. So I'm not speaking this as just a coach that's just being a jerk that wants to say a word to a parent. No, this is to help you and benefit you. Even if it's a tough pill to swallow, if somebody prescribed you that pill, you probably should take it. Yeah. You know, and no matter how big the pill is, because it's not about you, you know, with all due respect, it's about the kid. And right. If as a parent, you're willing to swallow your pride and put your ego to the side, your kid is going to be an incredible human being. And I know for most parents, they have no issue doing that if they knew that's what the outcome was going to be. And sometimes people need to hear it. Maybe they haven't heard those exact words from someone, even though a lot of people think it, you know, they don't hear it. And it's important. And any one of these parents that hear this podcast and want to have a conversation because they're coming up to a tough choice, reach out to us. Well, even if you don't choose us, or even if we're not in the consideration, we grew up in this system. We are a club made by players for players. We played in all the biggest clubs in the system. We drove an hour and a half to go to practice all the time. We've had to leave coaches that we've loved because we've outgrown them. These are all things that when it's your first time happening, you feel alone. You feel alone as a player. you feel alone as a parent, having to make this choice of, hey, this coach has given me scholarships and they've been loyal to me, but my kid has outgrown them. That's a tough conversation to have. That's a very tough conversation to have. But when it's time to have that conversation for your kid, you need to have it. So I've had them a million times, Ian. I'm sure you've said Villarreal, North Texas enough time that people can find us on here. Reach out. Help us help you. You know, we're for the community. I know this is why you're doing it, and this is probably one of the reasons, podcast, man, because we are so willing to help.
Yeah. You guys are always willing to help answer questions that we have or have a sideline conversation with me, which is nice to have because – like I said earlier, this is my obsession is soccer, and it's what I eat, live, and breathe for. And I get it as a parent. I don't get it as a coach anymore. I don't get it. I just get it to watch my son. And you talked about the hard pill to swallow is our big conversation in our cars normally when the game goes bad. Like, we'll talk about how the roughing was. Like, but you didn't play hard enough then. He may make some bad calls. Five bad calls doesn't change the dynamics of a game enough at your age for it to end you being mad at the ref. That means you didn't play hard enough. Yes, if it's like the last 30 seconds, but you still didn't play hard enough before that last 30 seconds of the match where the bad call was made. If it was the ref's fault, it would have been bad the whole game and it would have been so lopsided that there's nothing you can do about it. But if it's an equal game and he makes one bad call, so be it. You have to get over the fact of the ref. You have to get the fact over your coach and play your heart out. And you can't blame anyone. You talked about blaming people. It's so easy to blame a ref. It's so easy to blame the coach. But we always tell Landon, you didn't play well enough then. You as a team, your team did not play well enough to win then. It deals nothing with anyone else. It's how well you guys played. And I talk about this one because this is one of the things I was told coaching multiple times now, from being much younger, coaching like baseball to coaching soccer. It was the coaches sit back and take the losses because they didn't prep their players well enough to win the match. And then the players get the win because they were able to execute the coach's plan that they were taught in practice. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about that, and everyone's like, well, that's not always the case. Lego, but that's the simple answer at the end of the day. And to me, that is the simple answer. If your players are doing what they're being taught, and you've mentioned this, maybe the players have outgrown the coach. And I think that's where we get hung up at, is that when do we switch as parents, coaches, and have that hard conversation with the coach? Where do you see my player? Or maybe the team has outgrown your player, and you need to figure out how to get your player to grow with the team again. Mm-hmm. And how do you have that dialogue? And I like how you said it needs to be the player to be doing that. And now this brings me to one of my favorite questions to ask dealing with that. What age is the player now responsible for packing their bag for the tournaments or their games? And what age do you start making the players responsible to make sure they have everything? Because you said U12, U11, but I mean, Landon's a U9 right now, and it will technically be a U10 in July. So what age is he responsible for packing his own boots and his own kits for the matches?
So that's a good question. So it's not an age. It's a time. Whenever he tells you that he really wants to take this serious and wants to take the next level, then it becomes his responsibility. Right. When he still doesn't understand what being a professional player is like or what even having a responsibility is like, you know, it's still on the parents. But at I say 11 or 12 because, again, I have older kids. And that to me, 11 or 12 is young. You know, I have 14. I have 15 and 16 year olds. I had a girl that turned 16 today, 15 and 16 year olds. So I was just shooting a number smaller than what I have. But, you know, truly thinking about it. Yeah. 8, 9. When they're ready to commit that this is the lifestyle they've chosen, the culture that they want to be a part of, because this isn't a game, right? When they understand that this is no longer a game and this is life, right? This is what, spending Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 2 days in a row on your only day off isn't a game. Right. That's a lifestyle. Eating sandwiches out of sandwich bags between games under a tree in the shade because you're playing in the game an hour and a half from your house. That's no longer a game. That's a lifestyle. So once they decide they truly want to this lifestyle and this culture to be what they do for the rest of their life, they should start taking on these responsibilities of wanting to talk to the coach. And it's not just talking to the coach when it's a bad thing. It's about building that relationship, right? Because if you start building that relationship, even when it's positive, even when you do win, you go ask your coach what you can do better. Or even when you, when it's just a practice day and you're feeling off, you can come talk to your coach. The coach will start, you'll start getting points with the coach for wanting to learn. And you'll slowly build a relationship. And that relationship that you build will make those hard conversations easy. Because the only time you're having a one-on-one with your coach isn't when it's a tough talk. And if we teach our kids right now for Landon, which I think Landon, from my opinion, has no problem with this issue, as far as coming and having a conversation with the coaches that he's working with and building that relationship, I feel like he has a relationship with me and then a different relationship with Esteban and an individual relationship with Christian, because he did that on his own.
Yes.
And not all kids are outgoing enough to do that. And when they start building those relationships and they start taking responsibility, whether it's at 15 or it's at 8, they're ready to start packing their bag, you know, and they start taking responsibility for their equipment. That's a tool. Your cleats is a tool. Right. Your shin guards is a tool. Okay. If you walked into a mechanic and the tools were on the ground, would you want to leave your car there? No. Do not wear your cleats on cement. Start respecting, right. You know, respect your tool for what it is. At a very young age, you can start teaching the kids this. It could be 4 or 5 years old. You can start teaching the kids this, and they'll slowly start getting the responsibility. By 8 or 9, they should have, I mean, at Landon's age, they should be doing their own water. They should be having their bag ready and wanting to go, not having to be dragged to practice. Oh man, we have practice. It's them comprehending time. Hey, it's 4:30. Mom's about to get home from work. Let me start putting my socks in my bag. Let me start filling my water up so my mom doesn't have to do that. And these little things are, believe it or not, what are going to separate the good players and the great players. All the should have beens to all the did it, done that, did that, done that. And it's right. And it's, you know, and it starts at a young age. And when I say 11 or 12, that's the number that I threw out. But not every day. Every year, we're getting younger and younger. You know, I mentioned it earlier. We used to do rec soccer. No one does rec soccer anymore. Okay. What Thea does, I would not consider it rec soccer. And when I was Thea's age, it was someone's dad coaching us. So back then, maybe these conversations and these responsibilities are 12, 13, 14 years old. But now that they're getting exposed to this environment at a much younger age, they need to start at a much younger age following in line with that, you know? Especially Landon. Landon's around professional players a lot. Yes. A lot more than I was, for sure.
And that's the thing. I listen to a podcast and I always shout out his name because he's really my inspiration for mine. It's called Down the Tunnel. And Keen Barkley interviewed someone and he, at the age of eight or nine, he makes all of his players pack their own bags. And then one of the players packed 2 left cleats and the coach made him play in 2 left cleats. The parents were willing to go home and get him his correct cleat. But the coach says, no, you're old enough to make own decisions. You pack your own bag. And so he packed his little brother's cleat that's a half size smaller. And so he had 2 left cleats to play in. And the coach says he'll never do it again, I promise you.
Oh, yeah. And, absolutely.
And And it has always stuck with me. And this is where my brain goes with this. It's because I know that my kids are spoiled, and it's hard not to unspoil them. I think it's more of a dad issue than a mom issue than in my family. But in other cases, it's reversed. But it's fascinating at how do you have that conversation? It's like, how do you? And you talked about it. The coach has to build the relationship with the player. And once they build that relationship, now they have that comfort zone saying like, hey, why am I not playing? And they can say, hey, look, this is why. You're not showing up to practice. Go talk to your, we can talk to your parents about that. Or you're not putting, like, that's putting the time in. And, or it might be something else. And it's a conversation you can have with them. And then followed up with the parents so they understand what the kids are saying, because any kids like my kid, you get half the stories. It's no different than talking, asking me. Shelby will ask me the telephone game, and the coach will tell me, and I'll give her half the story, and then like later I'll tell her the other half of the story because I finally remembered it.
Or, yeah, of course.
And the kids are no different. And having that conversation and being able to have that open conversation with the kids and the parents understand it. Is important. I feel like you talk about Landon, but I feel like Landon has the respect and admiration for all three of you guys to go have that conversation and share something great he's doing or something he's struggling with, because as much as you may harp on something in the skills, you guys also will praise and reward them in praises when they do something successful. So they have that trust in you, knowing that you're not going to tear them down when they come back to you. And as a parent, that's so important to have and watch your players grow and have that relationship.
Yeah, of course. Like the time he came back with the volleys. That's what we worked on. Yes. And he hit a volley, and he was so excited to tell us.
Yes, because he hit it outside the seven. He was playing 7v7 in that match, and it was outside the box near the touch line, and it bounced to him and he just volleyed it. No one thought it was going to go in, and it went in. I mean, it's amazing that, and I feel like every time you guys have worked at something in your skills, 90% of the time when he has a game the next day or Sunday, he does that. He uses whatever he learned the night before. He tries it, and he's not scared to. And he's excited because he wants to come back and tell you the next time he sees you, because you guys celebrate it, not just for him, but all the kids there.
Yeah, of course. You kind of need to celebrate with them sometimes. And you touched a very good example on what I was mentioning earlier when you talk about the cleats. I think that's great. What I was mentioning about let the kid learn their lesson, that was a tough pill for the parent to swallow. And I'm sure they wanted to go get the cleats, but allowing the coach to make him play in two left cleats allowed him to learn the lesson he was supposed to learn to never do it again. And I've heard this so many times where they're almost at a soccer field and a kid forgets their cleats and the parents just go buy him a new pair. And those are the type of examples that I didn't give about letting them learn the lesson they're supposed to learn. Sometimes, and most of the times, there's always a solution. But having the character to walk up to your coach and say, hey, coach, I forgot my cleats. I'm sorry. I don't, if my teammates don't have a pair of cleats, I can't play. And not having get bailed out, a lot of times there's going to be a pair of cleats for them to wear.
Right.
But that conversation, that being scared from the car, walking all the way to the coach, and that 2 minutes of fear and overcoming of fear is a lesson learned. Even if the outcome got fixed, it wasn't fixed by the parents. So that's a great example you gave there. And I'm glad you gave it.
And I look at it from a parent's perspective, because I'm the bad parent in my family when it comes to this stuff. It makes me really think long and hard about how we raise our kids today, because we try to not put them through the same struggles that we. But that's who made us today who we are. And if we take those struggles away, and as a parent, I'm horrible at this because I don't want my kids to go through what I went through. And I feel like they need to have the parents they have and the resources they have behind them. I mean, like you said, if a kid forgets their cleats, the parents go off, and I don't know how many times I read that on social media that, oh, my kid forgot their cleats. Where's a good place to buy cleats in such and such city?
I'm like, that's crazy.
What? we were walking out the door. I'm more worried about leaving stuff at the field than I am leaving the house, because I know that we go through such a vigorous checklist leaving the house. The biggest thing we forget for Landon is his sports goggles. I mean, at the end of the day, he can play without glasses. He's fine.
Yeah.
And it's a lesson he has to learn. He forgot his glasses in his mom's car because she took him home because I had to take Thea to her practice, her activity the other day. So it is what it is. And now, as a parent, I have a different perspective because I feel like I come from a more of a coaching mentality. And Shelby kind of followed along with this mentality, I feel, or she has the same belief. We don't go into a team expecting to have a winning season. We want close to 500 as possible. If we win every game, we're in the wrong league. If we're losing every game, we're in the long league. If we're winning half our games, we have eight matches for the season, and we win three of the eight, I'm a happy camper as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because they win, like you said earlier, they have to learn from losing. And having that ugly knot in your stomach, losing, it's a great motivation to win.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Do you personally prescribe that to parents, or do you go into the mentality, it's like, this is our goal is to develop, and then along the same mantra of let them, like, it's not let them suffer, but let them feel the agony of not having the greatest season, or I don't know how to phrase it.
Well, I feel like there's a lot of different scenarios, because it's one thing having, you know, winning 3 out of 8 and competing in every single one. And it's one thing having, you know, 1 out of 8 and it be 90 goals against, 0 goals for, you know, of course. But I think it's on a team to team basis, man. You know, that's a good question. But if it's a brand new team that I'm building, I'll let them know from the beginning, hey, you know what? Winning's going to come, but it might be a year or two out, and kind of set their expectations. Because when the team is barely being built, the goal isn't to win. The goal is to perform. And then when you perform, then you can move the goal to win. But you have to kind of take it step at a time. If you go to a team that's already winning and successful, well, you kind of have to lay it out there for the parents on how it's going to be and what the expectations are. So I think that's definitely based on per team situation, because it could be a team that's already a winning team. Then you don't have to have that hard conversation about losing, right? Now you have to have different conversations on a totally different subject.
Okay.
If that makes sense, if that makes sense at all.
It makes sense, because it's a different dialogue based on where the players are at.
And where the team is at, right? Like, I have one of my teams is struggling a little bit. And when kids come out, I let them know, hey, look, we're not at the bottom of the table. We're somewhere under middle of the table, right under middle of the table. We compete a lot of times, you know, but we're dropping the ball at the end of the game. Or I kind of explain them a little bit and tell them a little bit about the situation the team is in and the expectations. And I don't ever even ask for a commitment until they've been coming out 4 or 5, 6 times. And sometimes it drives people a little bit crazy, but I'll tell them, hey, can I talk? The people want to talk to the coach after the first practice. No, no, there's no, yeah, introduce yourself.
Right.
But to go talk to a coach and say, hey, how does my kid look? What do you think? Can they make the team after the first time they see him? I think that's a little bit unrealistic and unfair. Unfair to the player, right? Unfair to the fact that they're in a new environment with a new guy, a new coach, new teammates. You don't know anyone's name until the second practice.
Right.
You know, you don't remember anyone's name until the second practice. So, you know, and I think for the most part, after 4, 5, 6 practices, they get an idea of the level of the team. That's why it's important before any commitment, before any serious conversation. It's 4 or 5 practice, I would say, minimum. before you now, even. Yes, sir.
With that being said, in 4 or 5 practice. So when we move into like the select world, how does that work for you guys?
Man, to me, I've worked like that my whole life, period. And I'm not pushy. I've never been pushy. I don't believe in that. Trying to get a play. If there's a player that is outstanding, you know, and I know I want him day one, I let him know the interest, and I'll tell him straight up, hey, I'm absolutely interested. Why don't you have your child come out two or three more times, and so they can explain to you how they feel about me? Because you're not just committing to me financially. You're committing to me your weekends, your time. And for a lot of people, especially in the communities that we live in, it's more of a sacrifice to give up the time than the money.
Right.
It for someone to pay the money, it's not a big deal. For someone to commit to 4 or 5 events a week, that's harder than the money commitment. And that's something that we run into as well.
Now, as a parent coming into it, looking at it from a parent perspective, what do you guys expect from the parents for support then? Like, is it just bringing player A in and having supporting you guys as the coach, and not so much blindly, but understanding where you guys are coming from, what your goals are for the player, for the team and the players, and coming in and backing you guys up, not so much blindly, like I said, but to be supportive in your choices, even though it might be a straw, like a hard pill to swallow. Like losing. I mean, that's a hard one for a lot of parents to swallow. Is I get that the first season, your team, first 8 games of a season, the regular, like the first fall season, that's what we play right now with Landon and Thea, is you play 8 games. I don't expect a whole new team to come together and win all 8 games. As a parent, I expect them to maybe win 1 if they're good, maybe 2. That's how low my bar is set coming into it. By the next season, I'm hoping for that 500 record, because they're put into the, you know, where they sit as a team, mm-hmm. so you can put them in the right bracket to play in. Because mm-hmm. I feel like some teams will put their teams in lower brackets and they just crush every team 8-0, and there's nothing no one can do about it, because, or you go to a tournament and you know this team should be in the gold bracket, but they're playing in the bronze bracket, and they just come mm-hmm. in and win, and they're trophy chasing at the end of the day. How do you bring parents in to let them know, like, hey, it's about the development and squaring them away with that mentality, because they do have to go to, because it is such a time commitment, especially when you're playing tournaments.
Well, to me, more than the development, it's the relationships and the environment. Because everyone talks about the development. The development plan that a coach has depends on the relationship that has been created between the player and the coach, as well as the environment, the setting that it's in. That's also a big part in whether your player develops or not. You know, are they comfortable? Do they have the freedom to express themselves? You know, not just the, because I can go in there with a development plan and skills work and have all of that. But if your child cannot connect with the words that are coming out of my mouth, that's irrelevant. Okay. So to me, the reason why I feel like I'm a good coach and a good developer, and of course, this is me, you know, twirling my pistols, it's because of the relationships that I bond with the kids. Landon, when he listens to what I say when we're talking about volleys, it's not because I'm a coach. It's not because I'm an adult. It's not because I'm also a boy. It's none of that. It's because me and him have built a relationship, and he trusts the words that are coming out of my mouth. And I've built that trust showing him examples on how it should be done. Not just the developing, because I've ran into a lot of players where I'm trying to explain something to them and they can't understand what I'm saying. Coach Christian comes in and in 30 seconds, now this player understands. And to me, that wasn't about the development part. To me, that's about the relationship and the environment. Because the what I was teaching could have been right. But for some reason, this kid wasn't comprehending that. And that doesn't have to do with your development plan. To me, that doesn't have nothing to do with your development plan. That has to be with the relationship that coach and player have built and the environment in which they're allowed to execute and the environment where they're allowed to be themselves and truly be free. So the development comes easy when you can get these kids to believe in what you say. Because developing soccer is not hard. You can do it on YouTube. If you can find someone on YouTube that every word they say, you grab it religiously, that YouTube personality can help you get to the next level. And that's important more than the development. And I hope parents are listening to this. The development has nothing to do with the plan that the coach has. Is that coach creating an environment and a relationship for my kid to truly develop? And developing has to do with confidence and being comfortable, being uncomfortable. That's not a drill. That's not something that you can put on paper. That's not something that you can even monetize or count like you can. That's something that, you know, it's relationships, it's feelings, it's emotions. And I think that's just as important as a development plan.
No, if the player can't connect with the coach, it's impossible to train. That was the conversation I had the other day. Like, you have all these great players all over the world, and they're doing great in the club that they're at, and they go, let's say they jump from Liga 1 to Premier League, and all of a sudden they shrivel up and shrink and go away. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's because they don't have that connection with the coach. They don't have the same support that they had where they came from. And it's why sometimes players don't ever leave where they're at, is because they know they have what they need right there, and there's no reason to go beyond that point because they've hit the high point they think they've needed.
Yes, sir. We're working on a few other projects with, Villarreal. We created a select team, North America select team, in which we did an ID camp, and it's like an all-star team of all the different academies in Villarreal. We're sending off 5 girls to Mallorca, Spain, at the beginning of the next month to play against Atletico de Madrid, to play against Real Betis, to play against, in the super group type environment, which I think is going to be very tough for them. You know, I don't expect them to necessarily come back with a trophy or anything like that, but those experiences, getting to see what those other kids at that level playing against kids in the national team for Spain, on the national team for Portugal, on the national team for some of these other clubs that are going to participate in this tournament, I think is huge.
What is your next year plan for the club for growth? I mean, I know July's coming up soon and you guys have to be ready for the next round. Do you guys have a lot in store for maybe not so much growth, but potential within the club to give recognition to your players?
Yeah, and that's the plan. I think more than growing numerically, it's growing opportunities and creating these opportunities. For example, as a small club, they won't let us into maybe tournaments like MLS Next individually, right? And these ECNL tournaments. But with La Liga backing, MLS Next has approved Villarreal select team. Okay. So now Villarreal select team will be participating in this MLS Next tournaments and these ECNL tournaments because, hey, they're backed by La Liga. Villarreal is one of the biggest clubs that represents La Liga as far as in America and a lot of the places where they go do camps. So for us having that backing kind of justifies us getting into these tournaments, right? It kind of backs us to get into these tournaments. So we're going to be creating those opportunities for those players. Hey, they want to stay in this environment. They want to stay in the family environment. They want to grow organically. They feel safe and they feel comfortable. We've had players leave, go to other places, and then come back. Because they're like, hey, we went to a team that was better on paper, but it wasn't necessarily what was best for me. So for those players that are ready for that next level, we're creating opportunities like that, that select team. We have an ID camp coming this summer, which we're going to select a handful of kids to send to Villarreal to get that experience and to get looked at and create different pathways, because there's not just one pathway, right? It's the college pathway. And even the college pathway breaks into 10 different pathways from D1, D2, all the way down to NAIA and JUCOs and all these other things. So for us, it's getting these players looked at, getting them opportunities. And that might mean collaborating with Villarreal, Nebraska, and a few of these other clubs that we have throughout the country to create an all-star team to go put them in the biggest showcases in the country. And that's just the first step of it. And we've only created 4 select teams, 2 boys and 2 girls, a U19 and a U13. But the goal is to eventually have those in every age group and do international tournaments and do national tournaments and do Dallas Cups and do all of that. So they can get that big club experience on showcase weekend. But, you know, after a few weeks of the grind, they can go back to getting to know their coaches, the small vibe, the small town vibe, the everyone's a family. You know, the little kids know the older kids, and you know, that's a nice culture to be in, you know, right? Because for us, this isn't a game. This is a lifestyle. This is a culture. And whenever here in the States, we realize that soccer is a culture and not a game, is when the U.S. will take the steps necessary to be a dominant force in soccer. Football. Right.
Football's life.
Yeah. Football's life.
Who was your greatest influence as a player to be where you're at today? I think I have an idea what the answer is, but knowing you and your family.
Well, that's as a player, like who did I look up to as a player or a coach that was the influence?
Anyone that could have influenced. If it was a coach, a parent, friends, family, it could be multiple people. I mean, I've heard some great answers to this question. Who influenced from a young age to today?
For me, I think it's the community that I call family. I think the little things that a lot of different coaches have taught me has built the coach that I am today. But one of the biggest coaches that I think that influenced me, I would say Mike Yermovich. Mike Yermovich is a played for the Dallas Sidekicks, and he taught me that it's more important to be a good person than to be a good player. And I think with that little bit of knowledge, it has taken me to where I am today, because being a good person has opened more doors for me than being a good soccer player. So Coach Mike, I think to me is, you know, one of the guys that, that really influenced me big time. And my mother, my mother being fearless in a generation where devoting every waking minute to your kids wasn't a thing. Nowadays, it's normal for families to spend all weekend at a soccer field. You know, 20 years ago, it was not. And no. that support, that drive, constantly pushing. I couldn't do it without my mother. And you know, she's a strong woman. And I don't know if you met her yet, but she comes to skills every Friday night, and she just hides there like a normal parent. But if it wasn't for her, I don't know where I would be right now. And between, you know, Coach Mike, my mother, my father that always put everything on the line, my brothers, man. Me and my brothers kind of just, it was just a ball, three brothers in a dream. And it's how we spent our days. You know, the Ronaldinho is my favorite player of all time. And he once said, I learned a lot about life with the ball at my feet. And I think that sums it up pretty well for me and my brothers. You know, there's a lot of heroes that I'm sure I'm missing. You know, Coach Rodriguez, rest in peace, man. I love you, Coach. He's a coach that I had here in Northwest High School. He was also a very important person in my life. And for him, I think he's the one that the mental aspect helped, because as much he knew, I knew a lot about soccer. So he didn't spend too much time trying to teach me about soccer. He tried to teach me about being a good young man. And coaches like that, those are who truly change a player's life. And I do what I do because I'm paying it forward. I'm in debt to Coach Mike, to Coach Kevin Smith, to Coach Adrian Solka, to Joey Rodriguez, to some of these guys that are in the Metroplex known. Everyone knows Adrian Solka, played for a long time for him. Kevin Smith, those are all guys that I played for that helped me in a different way. Some guys talk to me nice, some guys talk to me mean. And I got to see different points of views from all over the world, and it was amazing, man. And soccer itself is the funnest lesson of them all.
It's a good one. Even as a parent standing by and watching, it's a fun lesson. Now, yeah, as man. A coach, who has influenced you?
As a coach, the coaches that I had before me, you know, I mentioned Coach Mike being, you know, he's like a father to me for a lot of these. For me, I dedicated my life to soccer, meaning I was 3-4 days a week at practice. I was leaving home. I was leaving home, going to school at 6-7 a.m. directly from school. I'm going straight to practice. I'm at practice for a few hours. I'm getting home at 9-10 p.m. at night because we're coming from Dallas. And sometimes I saw my coach more than I saw my dad. So some of these coaches are like father figures to me. And when there's a lot of things that you'll hear me say, but it's not me saying them. It's me repeating them from what a coach told me. And when these coaches spoke to me and these coaches changed my life and the relationship that I had with them, with Coach Rodriguez, with Coach Kevin. Coach Kevin, I run into him at the fields all the time, and he's a funny guy, and it's one of those things where I cannot see him in 10 years. And when I see him, the embrace, the hug says it all from the relationship that we had. And those relationships, I think more than any individual person, someone giving me those relationships, filling those gaps and those voids that I needed as a teenage boy that was lost and confused, like a lot of us are at 14, 15, 16 years old, for them to be there in that guidance and that role model position as a male and a father figure, that was huge. And a lot of the things that you guys hear me say, I heard it from a coach. And that's why I do what I do, man. I coach because I'm paying it forward, and coaches changed my life. Coaches saved my life. And I hope to just be able to do the same thing for another young man or young girl.
So I know this episode, the beginning, was a hard pill to swallow. It was for me as a parent. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you take what Coach Gio says about what we need to do as parents and his message to heart and not take it personal. And I also hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. Until next time, see you at the pitch.